You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Maria Liavana. Maria, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Maria, we're going to talk about your work, and you're in Queens now. Tell me what's happening in your studio. I mean, we're in the, I guess, still like peak or not quite peak of the pandemic or something on June 30th. So it's a strange time. What's happening in your studio now?
In my studio now? Well, I have a physical studio in Long Island City, Queens. And since the start of the pandemic, the quarantine, like I took a break from working in my studio like back in March, April, May. And I also am an educator. I'm an art teacher too. I teach. And so it was like everything went online, and so I had to stay home. And so I had to, like, teach online, and then my studio practice ended up being on my kitchen table at home. So, like, I went from a big space to a mini space, but I brought a lot of the work with me to do while I'm home figuring out this online stuff, because it was just, like, everything felt like more than 24 hours. I felt like everything kept going, but I still wanted to keep doing my studio practice. So, like, all day long I would work on stuff for school, and then in the evenings till late hours, because the anxiety was kicking in, like the unknown of what was happening with this virus and what's happening. And so I would stay up and work on these pieces that I actually like avoided, because I also split my time at a ceramic studio as well. It's called Brick House Ceramics Place and Ceramics Art Center, and I would work there, and I would always go there and keep making work with clay and not finish these objects that I would make. And then this forced me to, like, okay, it's time to finish these pieces, because I think the Brick House was closed for time. So I've been working on these ceramic pieces, adding some
Talk about them. What are you doing with the ceramic pieces? What exactly are you working on?
So these pieces, there are some pieces that are, I use porcelain, I use the brown clay, I use the B-mix, and I create these arches. So they look like rainbows, but they're arches. And I pipe them. So I use clay slip, and I put them into piping bags, and I pipe. I over decorate these arches, and then I get them fired, and then when I take them out, I add more decor to it, so it just becomes more excessive. I add gold enamel.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I've seen images of it, and I guess we'll have images of it in this interview. But these arches, when you talk about piping, I mean, to be clear, because it looks very interesting what's happening with the medium there. You're using something like a pastry bag, in other words, to push the paint or medium out through. And that's really interesting, because that's, of course, like a really unusual medium. It's a kind of sculpting medium that you're then attaching all these things to, and it almost looks like something I don't want to say like on a cake, but something almost like that, because of what looks like parts of it that are almost edible, right? Or is that just what I'm seeing in the images?
Yeah, I also think about desire, and also it's like when I become obsessed with something, I want it so badly, and then there's a desire and wanting to eat it, to consume, and cake and decor, like it's part of the conversation that's happening, the dialogue that's happening in my work. It's like the desire, you know, wanting it, that I put into these arches. And then I add more.
So let's talk about that. There's wanting, but there's one called envy too.
Yes.
So desire and envy. I mean, let's talk about that, because in one way, you know, some of those were made last year, the ones I'm talking about, but I don't know if it's really off topic, but the whole idea of things that look, you know, like cake or excessive is also a pandemic issue.
Yeah. It comes out. Yes.
is that part of what you're thinking, or am I like stretching it too much? It's just,
no,
you know, I have a different association with what cakes and what high calorie things mean now.
Well, yeah, of course. Like envy, it's like it's also like I incorporate also my vices. It's like the envy, I become envious. Like it's combining it all because like there are objects that are really beautiful, and then there's like you go into the realm of kitsch, and so I really love that element of kitsch because kitsch is like instantly you're satisfied how cute it is. But then at the same time it's grotesque. It's kind of grossy too. It's like oh. Lowbrow. So I like those elements. Like, I would say I'm a contradiction. Like, oh, I can't just be beautiful and ugly. I just want both. I want to play around with those ideas of beauty and grotesque. And I think kitsch does that really well. Like, it's just so I love the aesthetics of kitsch, and at the same time, it's repulsive. Right.
Well, maybe we can talk more about that through a recent installation, or do you want to talk about how these will potentially come together in an installation?
Yes.
Because that's where some of those ideas really come forward in kitsch, when you have a whole installation of objects that are kind of speaking to some of what you're talking about right now.
Like the excessiveness, so I just keep making like these arches, these ceramic arches. Like I just keep going and keep making and making. Just it's not just one. It's like not just five. No, it's up to 10. I have like 30 of these in my studio. I just keep going and I'm thinking like I think I will go up to 100. It's excessive. It's just taking up space. It's in your face. And then with the decor in each one, like they're also excited. There's so much of these, like I use cabochons to like cover of the piping, the surface. I just keep going. And then I occasionally add like sequins or not sequins, more like rhinestones, but like plastic rhinestones, not high-end rhinestones or crystals. I just keep using what's accessible, like bedstock too. It's just there, and there's so much of it, and it's what happens. It just sits there, like at a dollar store. Everything is there. It's like, so I just take it all and then use it.
And how do these come together as an installation? Like with the current work, are you imagining an installation of all this, or is that not how your process works?
I see it as an installation. Like just I'm still figuring out the. Like how to like they're going to be together, and right now I am working on these prototypes of like they each get their own mini shelf, so each of them will have their own shelf that will go on the wall, but each shelf will not just be like a white wall, like a white block. It's actually going to be like I've changed the shape and added piping and started adding gold enamel paint to it, and I'm going to over-decorate them
to the shelf itself, you mean?
Yes, to the shelf itself, yeah. So each arch will have its own, like, space on the wall, but they're all going to be together.
That sounds kind of, you know, I mean, as like in a home that's kind of, whether a collector's home or not, it's kind of a wonderful way to show these off, because it's kind of the way people would, hang like a plate or almost a souvenir or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the association with, you know.
It's kitschy, like right?
Yeah, which is very kitschy, right. That sounds cool. And so, what else about those? Will they have a connection? Is there something about the arch itself that's a symbol that's a reason for you using it over and over? I think of like the triumphal arches, like in, you know, Washington Square and parks around the world. But is that the intention, or is there something else to the arch?
Both. I see arches as like a portal, the feminine. An entrance, and also it's a symbol that I see everywhere, like the arch. As an educator and teaching, like many students have drawn a rainbow or an arch, and it's just like it just appears everywhere. And so I just wanted to just take it in and see what happens every time I repeatedly make this form over and over again.
And how are things, or are they changing for you in this? I mean, you're not in your studio, as you're saying, you're out of your normal studio. Is that changing the scale of your work or the approach of your work? How is it affecting the work or process?
Okay, so I will say these arches, I've made them huge. They were 5 feet like 2 years ago. I made them large scale. That was like the first I ever went big like that. And I added all this decor. There was piping. There were these like objects, kitschy found objects that I placed them that had flowers. And storage is also an issue. So I went from extremely large, and we created these three large pieces, these large arches, to extremely small. So I went one end to the other for space. And also,
You mean in this time during the pandemic, because of space, these typically larger works became much smaller?
Well, they were already in the process. They were already getting smaller. I was forced during this time to like finish these pieces. Like usually, I would just keep going. I would go to Brick House and just keep creating these arches, and then use the piping, the whole process of making it. And so I couldn't do that. I didn't have time to go over to Brick House, and it was closed, and I had to be home. So I was forced to finish these objects. And typically I take a long time to finish artworks, and then I'll like work on it, and then I'll start something else, and it'll be a while till I go back. But this, because the arches, I can like pack it up, bring it in my bag, and bring it home. Like I was able to complete them. Like I was forced to finish these to keep the practice going.
And has anything about your practice changed? I mean, you know, this work, which we haven't talked about, also points to kind of aspects of materialism, right, in consumer culture and the way we typically gravitate towards certain types of objects, right? That's part of the message here?
Yeah, and there's also the desire, like, I desire, like, high-end stuff that, like, I just love all that stuff. The designers, and I don't own any of that, so I just desire it so much. And what's interesting is like a high-end handbag, and it'll have a special name, and then it'll have a special like bag to put in, and it comes with a certificate. So I'm like creating my arches in that way as well. Like they're very, they're all the same. Well, in the form, but they're all individually different. It's like it's my way of playing with that game. Like, oh, like the fashion community is just like so fascinating to me. Like pop culture, that all, like, I think about all of that all the time, and so there's those elements do come in there along with kitsch, beauty and the grotesque, and wanting and desire, envy. yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. That does make sense. Yeah, so. Maybe we could talk about that more through also kind of small performances that you do also. Isn't what's on Instagram, I've just seen a couple of things, but look like small almost performances of head moving or it looks like, you know, eating a cupcake or something.
Yes. Yes. So, the pandemic being here, and I've always been fascinated with drag culture. I love drag queens, I love them all, and I've been always been curious and fascinated by the aesthetics. So I wanted to play around with that, the ultra femininity, like pushing it beyond the norm of what is beautiful, right? It's just like the exaggeration of like the makeup on me, and then combining it with these actions like eating cake, and that's like the desire, like consuming, but like too much. Like the cupcake was a bit big, and I just kept going, just the act of eating over and over, like looking all cute and dolled up, but like I'm eating a big cupcake, so there's that play. Like I'm eating it over and over again, and that's actually not really healthy. And so,
I like that though, but that's kind of an to me that's really interesting because it's also a way of doing something that's not an installation, but it's performative. It's a performative aspect of what you're doing, and it's online. It's you're exploring that through Instagram, not kind of documenting something, but it becomes almost a part of Instagram, right? Like the kind of selfie culture of you know, images of who you are or not or wish to be, but in kind of drag and the way you're doing it, it takes on kind of a different element. It looks to me, especially in the context of your work, more like the work, a kitschy, this kind of makeup that's sort of right, kind of over the top or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll only live on the internet, like only live on Instagram. I would never do it live. I can never say never because you never know. But for now, it lives on Instagram and it's for the Instagram culture, like the likes and for the attention. The selfie, vanity. There's definitely some vanity in there, like being vain, like wanting to do this for the attention as well, but then investigating that, like thinking about it. I'm still figuring it all out, but it's just all part of that.
Yeah, it seems really interesting to work that way, to kind of use that as your studio, is what I'm saying. So the Instagram almost becomes a bit like your studio, right?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Being trapped at home.
So what's happening next? right, and what'll happen next? Will there be is there shows planned, or what are you thinking about for the future?
I'm in an upcoming show through Paradise Palace. It was supposed to be a physical show, but since like pandemic, it will become online, and there will be a catalog of the works and the artists that are in the show. So it will be online. So that's the next step, and then I'll continue working on these Instagram videos each week. The goal is to have like drop one each week, like setting a deadline. It's like, all right, Thursday is shooting. It's interesting, like to think about that. Like, what props am I going to use? What am I going to wear? What kind of wig am I going to wear? Like, what am I going to do? So that's what's happening next for the next like maybe 2 months.
Well, that's exciting, and for the work on Instagram, which you know we'll also have links to here, you'll continue to explore it the way you are. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to doing with Instagram, or how you're using that in the future?
With the current work, with the selfies, with the videos.
Yeah. I love that work, and it seems like it could be a whole new series quite a while.
Yeah, and Venus Glotona, that's her name. She has the name Venus Glotona. Venus, and Glotona means gluttony. So she actually has an Instagram. She actually has her own Instagram, but it's set on private. At the moment, I'm just keeping it private. And whoever discovers her can just click on following, and then I'll accept. So that one, like, and it's also that play too, right? Like, who I let into that world and who I do not. So it's kind of like a lot of these like fashion circles do, or art world circles, like who's in, who can go in, who cannot go in.
I like that. So using that, starting another account that's private, to play with that a little bit, right? Because there's a draw to that, right? There's a draw to, ooh, I want to be in something that I'm, you know, have to be accepted into, or to be part of a, like you're saying, a club, an inner circle, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I like that. And what are you reading at the moment? What are you at this point?
I started reading this book called by Gabriel Garcia Marquez called Of Love and Other Demons. So they're short stories. So I just started reading up on that.
Well, Maria, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I wish you good luck with all of this. And thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.